Hello, everyone, and welcome to So Mindful Podcast, where we dig into the tips, tricks, and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and without further ado, let's get into this week's exciting episode. And welcome to this week's episode of the So Mindful Podcast. I am delighted to be here again with the fabulous Imogen Lamport, one of my favourite guests. She's always got loads of tips on style, personality, colour, everything that you want to know about what you're wearing. So today we thought we'd talk about something that I think is really appropriate coming up to the holiday season, but also for dressmakers, I think it's also really helpful. So when we spend all this time making these clothes that we want to wear, I think it's really important to be able to show them off in the best light when we take photos. So I'd seen some posts that Imogen had done and some videos that she'd done about how to look great and how to feel great on camera and on video. And so I asked her if she'd go through that today. So welcome, Imogen. Great to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me back, Jackie. It's lovely to be here.
So I was thinking about the holiday season and kind of coming up to Christmas. And I know it might sound a bit early and we probably shouldn't be mentioning that word, but by the time this goes out, it'll be the end of October. And when I'm planning makes and things like that, then I'd like to give myself a bit of a head start. But I think it's important to have a think about how we're going to look in those and how we show those things off. So as I said, it'd be great to talk about some tips and tricks on how to look good in front of the camera, feel good and feel confident. So I'll let you dive in if that's okay.
Yeah, no problem. So I think, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realise is actually taking outfit photos, not just to show it off, but also to learn about fit on yourself, to see how things actually are fitting, the proportions, the kind of figure flattery elements or body harmony, whichever way you want to call it. All those sorts of things, photos can be really helpful. They can be a really good instructional tool to actually see how clothes are working on you. And I do recommend people take outfit photos because you learn so much about what's working, what's not. And, oh, should I actually take that hem up a bit? Or, you know, like all those sorts of things as well. But it is one of those things that most of us have a bunch of photos that we've had our photos taken over the years and people's happy snaps. And like we go, and we're horrified by how we look in them. And I know looking back on all my old photos, I was going, like, I avoided the camera for years. Like, I barely got a photo of me until I learned how to pose for photos. And that's because they're all fairly horrendous. But there are some kind of little things you can think about. And there's a kind of two aspects of this. One is what technology do you use? Like, how do you even do it?
Yeah.
And the other is, how do you actually make yourself look good in the photos? And, you know, another thing that people often like go, oh, you always look so good in your photos. I go, yeah, I take, you know, 80 for the three you see.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've definitely found that myself in doing stuff at home, trying to put stuff and makes on. I will take, you know, probably about 20 photos to get one that I think, oh, yeah, that was okay. I just happened to catch it at that moment or whatever it was, yeah.
You know, your numbers do start to go down when you learn more about how to pose. But, like, I remember talking to a professional photographer once, and this is in the old days of film where you used to have, like, a roll of 24. Yeah. And he said, if I get one good photo out of that roll of 24, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's actually good to know that that's a professional photographer assuming that 23 of the 24 are going to be crap.
Yeah.
So I think that's something worth kind of like going, taking into consideration. Like, don't expect us to take one.
Yeah.
You know, take lots of photos.
Yeah.
And even light movement changes can make a big difference. So there's like, one of the things to think about, let's talk about the technology first, just about like if I'm going to take my own outfit photos, like all you actually need is your smartphone. Like you don't need anything fancy, but it can be helpful to either have something like a little tripod, which you can get very cheaply off places like Amazon, which, you know, just have a little thing that you put it in there and, you know, you can stand it on something so it's standing up. But often people just pop it on a bookshelf or something. And you can even, I've got like a little blog post about this. You can even make yourself like a little stand using a couple of bulldog clips. And you just kind of use the big bulldog clips and you just use the ends to kind of, you know, prop the phone up. But it is often too thinking about taking the photo from not too low. Because what happens is if you take the photo from really low, we get all out of proportion. So thinking about taking it from somewhere around kind of chest height is quite good.
Yeah.
rather than really low or really high. And sometimes, you know, people have sent me photos and I can go, you know, and they say, my husband took this. And I go, he must be 6'5" or something, because it's like this bird's eye view of you. And it's very hard to see. And everything's kind of out of proportion.
Yeah.
One of the other things to think about is stuff like that. Whatever is close to the camera lens looks larger. So you're actually too close to the camera. You could also distort yourself. And it's amazing how even a small tweak in stance, which I'll talk about in a little bit, can make a huge difference to how you look. So there's some little things, but just even having, you know, just using your smartphone, and your smartphone has a timer on it. You can just turn the camera around so you can see yourself in the screen, and all smartphones have a little, you know, 10-second timer where you can press the timer, run back, pose, take the photo. But you can also get very cheaply off places like Amazon a smartphone remote control. So if you are kind of going up one level and you go, you know, I'm taking lots of outfit photos, they can just be really useful because you're not running in, running out. Like you can just, you know, set that, connect it via Bluetooth to your phone, take a little photo, and it's a really easy way of taking a photo. Of course, if you want to get more fancy, you can get a big tripod and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, people like me, I have the tripod and all that because it just makes life a lot easier. And I'm not reliant on anybody else to take my photos either. Yeah. My husband, you know, like some people have an Instagram husband who can take their outfit photos.
I would love one of those. This is
Every time I've tried to ask my husband to take a photo, he's like, cuts my feet off or gives me, you know, like he can't frame properly. It's like, you know, he doesn't tell me, oh, by the way, you've got like a stick coming out of the middle of your head. Or so it's like, I'm just better taking my own photos.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's definitely the case. I think also I found a feature on my phone. I think I did a little post about it where you can actually trigger it from a distance, but just using your hand.
Okay.
And as you hold your palm up, then it starts the timer that way. So again, instead of keep going in and out, I think some of the phones, and mine's not a posh phone at all. It's like a cheap Android phone. So, looking for some of those features, like remote triggers and things, are really helpful, aren't they? That you can just have a couple of poses and just be, like as you say, without dashing in and out every time.
And it's also, lighting is also really important. Like if it's like either in a dark room or you're in under a very yellow, you know, a lot of indoor lights are warm lights because they're warmer and more comfortable to live in. But if you're in a bit of a dark space with, you know, a yellow light on, then the whole, all the colour changes and you just, it might be too dark or you might be in shadow. It's worth thinking about lighting. So even just facing a window, so having like the camera sit on a windowsill so that the light, the natural light is coming onto you, can be really good. Ideally though, not in a window where the direct sun is coming in. So it's like natural light but not direct sun, you'll get a much, you know, a nicer image as well. So facing the light, don't want to ever have the light behind you because then you are in the dark and the, you know, the camera adjusts for that light and you just end up being black and what we see is out the window. That's the bright thing in the photo. So it's face windows and or take it outside. One of the things though, if you take it outside, is to be aware of like dappled shading. If you're under a tree and it's all kind of like that dappled light comes through, you'll end up with weird like splodgy bits across your face. And generally if you're going to take photos outside there, it's better to take either early morning or late afternoon. The middle of the day, the light's coming down from the top and it's really quite harsh, and it'll also tend to cast, so your eyebrows will cast shadows over your face and things like that, so it's much less attractive. And there are what they call the golden hour, like the very nicest time of day. If you want to go outside and take a photo, there's a golden hour. So it's the hour after sunrise and the hour before sunset.
Okay.
And you will notice this, that the light turns quite golden and it's a beautiful, soft, very attractive light. Like photographers love the golden hour. It doesn't last long, but it is a brilliant time to go and take a photo outside because you get this beautiful. It's this beautiful soft light. So it is thinking about that. If you're going to go outside, like think about the, you know, time of day can make a difference. And then even things like going, if I'm going to stand in the sun, or do I face the sun, or do I have the sun behind me? Because remember, a bit like the sun behind you, if it's too bright, will make you, you know, if you have a manual camera, you can adjust for that. Mm. But it doesn't work so well if you've got an automatic camera sometimes. So just some of those little things, are some little tweaks you can make. And also looking, some phones will have and cameras will have it kind of like a, what sort of light are you in? Are you in sunlight? Are you in artificial light? Because that will also change the colors that are coming out, because every light, you know, colors look different under different sorts of light as well. So that can also be something to be aware of as well.
Yeah, great tips. Yeah. So the other thing to think about is the backgrounds that you're standing against.
Yeah, absolutely. So not too busy, not too much going on. And like, do check, like, if you've got the mess behind you, like, you know, it always stuns me how many people like take some photographs of anything, like you've got all your dirty washing hanging out or something in the background. So it's like, either find yourself a plain wall or something very plain, or set yourself up. If you're going to take a bunch of them, you know, you can set up a little corner, which is like, this is my Instagram corner. And that's why I actually like to take a lot of mine outside, that I don't have to worry about the house or cropping stuff, outlets or stuff. You know, in fact, when I was developing my garden, part of it was to have some different places that I could take photos in. A little bit interesting in different plants, different times of year, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we definitely need something here in the UK where it's got some kind of shelter in the winter. That's gonna where you can be undercover.
You might need to set yourself up, you know, but even things like these days, like if you're getting really fancy, you can get yourself ring lights and stuff too, which can just throw a bit of light, because that's one of those other things. It's just about how much light you have, and all those sorts of things make a big difference. But also things like, you know, if you have the camera too close to your face, your nose will look larger. People are always going, oh my God, my nose looks so big in these photos. And it's because whatever's closest to the camera looks larger. So often it's better to take a photo from a bit further away and then crop it down, because nothing will be like as distorted as the closer the camera gets to you, the more the things that are closer start to get more enlarged and the things that are further away get to be made smaller.
Yeah.
So it's often better to get a better perspective, go slightly further away and crop it down. And these days, because they take it with a million megapixels, it's not like you lose a lot by taking it slightly further away and then cropping it down as well.
Yeah, and you can be more creative that way as well, can't you, about the things that you want to leave in and things you want to emphasize by having extra and then taking it to the section of the photo that you really want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's lots of rules about if you are going to crop it, like the rule of three and the like thirds and where in the frame you are and all that sort of stuff, which people can look up.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as posing, I think this is one of those things. It's like, it's all great. I've got my camera, I've got all the stuff, but then how do I stand there? And the best advice I got, so this was a professional photographer gave me these tips, and it was gaps and angles. You know, so think about creating gaps and being on angles rather than straight onto the camera. So the worst photos for most of us is just direct straight onto the camera with our arms by our sides. Like, that's about as, you know. And then what happens too, the minute the camera comes out, so if you look at all your family photos and stuff, especially if you're not a, like, I'm a natural, I love having my photo taken, taking my selfie today, you know, you're probably doing things like, oh my God, the camera's out. And what happens is we all pull our heads back and we get double chins because we've gone, it's a shock.
Of attention type.
it's also a shock thing.
Yeah.
So when we're feeling, you know, like a bit of fear,
yeah,
it's a natural reaction to pull your head back into your neck. And that just gives you a double chin. So I remember like a photographer saying, it's over the fence. So imagine you're talking to the neighbor and you've got the fence between you and the neighbor. And the fence is just kind of, it's slightly higher than chin, like kind of chin level. And so you lift your neck up and you just go, oh, like imagine you're going over the fence. And what that does is it elongates and slims your neck. And because we're pushing our head slightly forwards, the neck looks slimmer, but also we get rid of any double chins.
Yeah.
So that's a really useful, like, so I think over the fence. And there are sorts of interesting kind of tips I've seen of like put your tongue on the roof of your mouth too. Mm-hmm. That apparently can slim your jaw down. There's various things like
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Totally using that one, yeah.
Yeah. But then just thinking about angles. So because most humans aren't symmetrical. I always remember they used to talk about the 1990s supermodel Christy Turlington as being one of the few people you could photograph with their face direct onto the camera. And that was because she had incredibly symmetrical face. But most of us know, oh, one of my eyebrows goes a bit up and the other one's a bit flatter and one side of my lips is a bit bigger than the other and one eye is slightly bigger than the other and all that sort of stuff. We're all a bit asymmetrical because we're human. So if you turn your head, you know, direct to the camera, we notice more of the asymmetry. If you just slightly shift your head to the side, what happens is then the symmetry, like we don't expect that kind of, like the symmetry goes, like we're not expecting that everything is exactly the same because you've already created an angle. And so the same thing with your body. Like if you just twist to the side slightly, we're not seeing the full width of your body. But also we're kind of taking away from any asymmetry. So if you've got one shoulder higher than the other, like which is quite common, those sorts of things disappear as well. You know, so there's a lot of these kind of like little things. And then it's creating gaps. So thinking about like if you, you know, like this is why people put their hand on their hip. It's because what you're doing is creating a gap between the body and the arms. If I've got my arms right next to my body, I'm as wide as from the outside of each arm across my body. Versus if I create a gap by putting my hands on my hips or putting my arms a bit away from my body, I'm only as wide as the width of my body. My arms stop adding to that width. So you actually look slimmer in the photo.
Yeah.
So this is why you'll see a lot of socialites with their drinks. It's like hold the drink up because that actually getting that arm up to the side.
Yeah. Yeah. I put my hands up in the air a lot on the photos that I'm taking for shoots. Yeah. Now that makes sense as to why it looks a lot slimmer when this is your hands up in the air.
Yeah.
Behind your back.
So kind of twisting your body. So angling your body. So not straight onto the camera, but at a like 45 degree angle or something.
Yeah.
And then even things like tilting your head. So it's like this is why a slight head tilt also. So what we're doing is we're getting rid of any what should be symmetrical, you know, like so a slight head tilt, angling your body is a little bit of a way. Don't just have your legs next to each other. This is why it's cross your legs, put one leg out, like try. And this is where it's try lots of poses.
Yeah.
So every time I'm taking my own outfit photos, I'll just go, I'll do a cross leg. I'll get a one leg out to the back, a bit like I'm walking, but I'm not walking. I'll do a, you know, a variety of things. This is why it's also even like having one foot, you'll see the one foot kind of like slightly angled in with the knee, you know, standing on the back foot. With the knee.
That's in a lot of the croaky poses, you know, sort of when you're designing. The designs are one straight leg and then one knee sort of angled towards the other, because it creates kind of creates that narrowness.
Yes, it creates a narrowness.
Yeah.
This is why crossing your legs over creates a much narrower hip. And the other thing is even as simple as, do I have my weight on my front foot or my back foot? So if you are thinking about if I've got my feet slightly apart, one foot's forward and the other foot's back, if I've got my, like, is my hip forward or is my hip backwards? And you'd be amazed at how much slimmer you will look if you just twist it so your butt's going backwards rather than forwards. And you'll be amazed at the difference. So if you just do that tiny shift, you'll suddenly slim yourself down a whole lot. So some little things like that can make a massive difference to how you look. And this is why it's try lots of different, you know, poses. Try lots of different, like, gaps, angles. I'll have my, you know, my arm down low on my thigh. I'll have it up on my waist. I'll kind of just have it in front of me. But, like, think about instead of having the elbow next to you, just kind of slightly lift the elbow outwards, things like that, just going, am I creating some angles, some air? Like, you want to have air in between you and your arms.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really useful in terms of one of the things that I saw was to actually take a short video of yourself sort of in different poses. Yeah. Then you can take stills from the video to work out what you like. So I think one of the hard things is as soon as you've got all these suggestions and guidelines and rules and things to think about, then you start to look like a robot or a Dalek, don't you? You're trying to stick your tongue up and your chin out and your thumb out, and it does start to look a bit odd. But yeah, it sounds like practice is the key then to find a pose that you feel comfortable with that incorporates some of these suggestions and things.
And I think this is why if you just take a lot of photos, like, so expect maybe I'll get one, you know, if I get one or two it's good, but take a lot, so lower your expectations and take a lot and try lots of different angles and all those sorts of things, because you'll generally then go, oh, that one's actually quite good. And the other thing is then, of course, facial expression, because a lot of the time we go, oh my god, I look like constipated, or, you know. And one of my tips is to actually laugh.
Yeah.
So there is what they call the fake smile, which doesn't reach your eyes. So when I'm just like, it's that kind of cheesy, not real smile. But yeah. If you actually laugh, it will get to your eyes and you get a much more natural, much better photo. Yeah. But it does actually mean that in the photos, I'm not looking like she's forcing a smile.
Yeah. I think it changes your shoulders as well. I think as you start to laugh, I think you do relax, don't you? Yeah, because I heard somebody say about having some, just have some music on that you really like as well. So you're thinking about that. It sort of takes your mind off photos and you're kind of relaxing into that to get a more natural environment.
And I think not having an audience is good. It's like if you can do it in the privacy somewhere where you go, people are, because one of my things is because I do it out in the street and my neighbours drive by and wave and walk by. Like I'm always like going, oh, this is so embarrassing. Like I hate, I just always stop, let them go by, yeah. And I'll start again once they've left. Yeah, so it's like make it so you feel comfortable. I could never be one of those people who just does it in the middle of anywhere. Like that to me always feels very I know some people who can happily stop and I'm going to do a photo shoot in the middle of the city. Not me.
No. And I think, yeah, like you say, finding your own comfort zone of where you can just be at ease doing it is going to be better, isn't it? And have a few practices. But yeah, I mean, some great tips about taking lots. I think that's definitely true. And you'll find something in there that you'll think, actually, I could do that again. That is repeatable. I think I could manage and just be able to put those tips into place.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, it's like we're lucky we're no longer in the era of film. Like we can take 100 photos and it costs nothing.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, is like whenever somebody's like taking and you're going, take 20, like don't like go, oh, I'm gonna take it now. It's like just take. Because sometimes it's just in the slightest different. And what I'll do is just move slightly. So sometimes I might do 5 in a similar pose just with some slight differences.
Yeah.
And it could be slight difference with the shoulder or slight like tilt the head to the left, tilt the head to the right, things like that. And even things like, we're all told about, we have a good side and a bad side of our face. So which side do you put towards the camera? And often the assumption is that if I've got I know my left eye is slightly smaller than my right eye, that you'd go, oh, I should put my right side and better than my left side. But in fact, what I should do is put my left side because by angling it slightly, then it evens the two sides up.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So if I put my right side, then the left side looks even smaller again versus if I go the other way around, it's slightly better. And just noticing what sort of head tilts and stuff, you'll actually start to go. And this is why you see a lot of celebrities red carpet where they go, they've got their pose. And actually doing it in front of the mirror is really useful. Just have a play before you even get your camera out. Just try a bunch of, poses in front of a mirror. Look at the gaps, look at the angles, change your feet position, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And start to go, oh, I actually look, better this way than that way, and this little head tilt or that little head tilt, all those sorts of things can make a big difference.
And so just finally, have you got any tips around styling the photo? Because the other thing that I've noticed is that particularly when you're taking photos of things that you've made, is to try and accessorize, even though you're not leaving the house, to try and make sure you include other things to give. I think it helps give context to the photo, doesn't it? So do you have any suggestions around that?
So really you're kind of creating a finished outfit, aren't you? So it's, because we might make a garment, but then we've got to wear it with something else as well. So it's kind of like, well, what shoes, like what goes, together with this? Is the, is there an accessory? Like I always go, put something in your portrait area that creates, draws attention, because that's where we communicate from. It's often that little last thing. It's like the accessories. When you look at someone who's stylish versus someone who is, where you kind of go, it's just a bit plain. It's just some accessories. It might be, oh my gosh, she's got a bracelet on and a necklace. Or, it can be just those simple little things. Or the shoe really works. And in fact, one of the things a lot of the people in my group, they'll be going comparing shoes and they'll just take photos in the same outfit with different shoes to go, which shoes go with this outfit? I mean, it's going to be a really useful thing. I mean, I even do something just even in the mirror where I'll put 2 shoes on and then I'll get in that mirror and I'll have half myself in the mirror and I kind of go, which shoe looks better? And I'll move from one side to the mirror to the other and to go, actually, that's the better shoe. Like that goes better with the outfit. So just even kind of comparing some shoes, is there something about that, do you need to add a necklace or something? If it's a plain garment, do I need to add something to just give it a little bit more sparkle and life?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And in terms of, because we started the conversation around obviously approaching the Christmas time, really, and people are getting together in limited numbers, I think, and wherever you are, depending on your rules and your social guidelines. But in terms of those kind of photos where you're sort of in groups, have you got any tips on that?
So if you want to make yourself look smaller, be in the middle and get other people in front of you slightly. And if you are on the end, make sure you like get that angle and angle yourself in. So don't just stand straight off. Like you don't want to be the middle person. You want to be someone who's like, and then kind of like that, be slightly angled in as well. And then even just if you kind of put your hand on your upper thigh, just kind of casual, like I've not got my hand on my hip posing, but that can be quite kind of casual. Or hold your drink. Hold your drink out.
Get your drink, you said earlier, create space. Hold your drink. Create
space, yeah. And look, and one of the things too is even things like makeup and hair. Like we often, you know, when we're taking photos, it's often in the grooming that we can feel we look better or worse. So sometimes taking that little bit of extra care of the grooming. And the other thing is that, and this is why if you've ever had a professional photo, like the amount of makeup they put on you, now part of it's the lights they're doing. But even in normal photos, you'd be amazed at how much softer that bright lipstick appears. It does not look as bright. I know for whenever I'm making videos and things, I have to put on a much brighter lipstick than I would wear just going down the street.
Yeah.
And that's because it just tends to be less obvious. So to make your features a little bit more stand out, so things like a bit of makeup, a slightly stronger lipstick, you might go, oh, my God, this is so over the top. But you'd be amazed when you see the photo where you go, actually, it looks good in that.
Yeah. And I literally, we were saying just before we came on recording, didn't we? I put a lipstick on today for the camera and I feel like my makeup's wearing me, not I'm wearing my makeup. But as you say, on the film, because I've got quite bright lights on in here, it actually looks okay. But I will scare people at the supermarket if I go out straight away like this. But yeah, so it does make a difference. And I think if you are going to be taking photos of a few different things, I tend to build mine up together and then take them in a group because then I can get my hair ready, I can get my makeup ready, and then I can just kind of dance around and pose and do those things. I think all those little extras really just add to your photos, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I tend to take my photos first thing in the morning, like when everything's fresh rather than late in the day. Yeah. You know, the makeup slid off my face. I've got all shiny, like my hair's not quite as fresh as it was.
It is a bit of planning. A bit of planning helps. And now we've got all these extra fabulous poses. I think I'm going to go through a phase now where when you're trying these things out, it always looks worse, doesn't it, when you first do them? So that will be hilarious with me sticking my chin out with my tongue up and my one leg out or something like that. So when you see those in my next Instagram feed, you'll be able to laugh at them.
You know, just have a practice in front of the mirror. So before you start taking photos, just get in front of a good full-length mirror and just try going, oh, that actually doesn't, like you'll notice that you go, oh, that doesn't look so bad. That one's not as good, you know, all that sort of stuff. You'd be amazed at how much you go, that makes a difference.
Well, it's been fab, Imogen, again. And I'll put some links to, you mentioned a couple of posts, so I'll put the links to those in the show notes. I didn't give you a chance to introduce yourself, I realised, as well today. So the good reason for that is so that people can go and listen to the other two podcasts that we've done together and they can listen to the intro there because I think that's really important. It's not that I don't want to share everything that you're doing. So for those people that do want to connect with you, how can they reach you?
The best way is to come to my blog, which is called Inside Out. styleblog.com. You'll find me there, and from there you'll find links to everywhere that I am, all my style programs, and I've got over 2,500 blog posts all about how to, you know, like what to wear, how to find things that look good on you. You know, I got lots of sewers who love my blog because, you know, when you spend all that time and effort making something, it's good to actually know it's going to be flattering because, you know, that is one of those things, isn't it, to go, oh, there's nothing worse than spending the time and effort and energy and then going, this looks terrible on me.
Exactly. Sorry. And that's how I found you was from that mission, really, about making things that I wasn't super happy with, that I spent a lot of time on and that weren't really very flattering for me. So, and have you got anything going on at the moment that you want to point people to?
You know, have my 7 steps of style program. So if you actually want to learn about all your style fundamentals, what colours suit you, what shapes, styles, all those sorts of things. And plus the, I think, really important element of style, which is personality and how that impacts on your choices, That is all in that program, which is an online program. It's got an amazing Facebook group where you can get, like, I've got 4 stylists, you know, trained stylists in there who are giving out tips. So you can find out, you know, lots of ideas of how to improve on the outfits you've got already, which will help you, particularly if you are sewing as well, on, you know, what other things to think about or what alterations you might want to make as you are making your clothes.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and also seeing other people posting things about style is really helpful, because you get to see people with similar body shapes to you or completely different body shapes to you. I think that's also really helpful, isn't it, to kind of get into those sort of groups.
Yeah. You really learn a lot from seeing other people in their outfits as well. And just kind of when, you know, like I teach the science of style. And so it's actually seeing those concepts come to life, because often on ourselves, it's hard to see things on ourselves. And this is why taking the outfit photos is so good, is it actually kind of slightly removes ourselves from, you know, our own kind of heads as such, where we don't see ourselves in the same way as we see other people. But it's also often seeing it on other people, where you can have this, like, you know, lineup of photos where somebody's wearing like different outfits and you go, that one's the best. And that's because of this reason. So something that I can apply that to myself and my style, because I've seen it happening or I've seen it work on somebody else. So I find that that's an incredibly useful tool. Is even just like, even if you just do a happy snap every day of yourself in the mirror, as like, or just a simple kind of outfit photo, you'll start to see what things are working and what's not working pretty quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I think comparing them side by side is super useful. Yeah, I think that's a great tip. Super. Well, hopefully all the listeners now will be inspired to take all those photos, and I'd love to hear anything that people want to share. That'd be great. We've got the So Much More Fun Facebook group, so please do get in touch, and definitely get in touch with Imogen and check out her website. It's amazing, and I definitely say put aside at least an hour for the first time you go and have a look, because there's so much on there and it's amazing. I'm a big fan, as you know. So thank you so much, Imogen. It's been really great to talk to you today and really appreciate you taking the time. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you, Jackie.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com. where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.